Clock.
I call to order the Otter Rock Monthly Water District Board meeting at 6 p.m. 9/12/2023. Lisa, here. Kelly?
Here.
Beth?
Here.
Eileen?
Here.
Everyone's here. And then we have Curtis from Highland,
yep.
And the Mullins, the Harts, Whitney, and Pat Anderson. Did anyone have any questions about the lovely board summary that Beth always does graciously for us?
Oh.
Can I get a motion then to accept the board summary meetings from last meeting in August?
Yeah, sure. I'll give a motion to accept them.
A second.
Lisa, yes. Kelly?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is Curtis.
Yo, yo. I am so scatterbrained right now. It's been a long day. The good news, I sent an email on Spring 3 is up and functional. We are currently still managing off of just Springs 1 and 2. Cody's keeping an eye on it. He checks it 2 or 3 times a week, depending on if he's on or off plants elsewhere. So he's watching the reservoir level, and if we ever need to kick it into gear to recover the reservoir, it's pretty simple to do so. So that's the big and exciting news. News for foreshadowing is we have 2 new guys starting on Monday. One of them's very experienced. The other, he's just a farmhand out of high school. But anyway, trying to get back up to being more staff so that we can come do projects like the meter splicing. So I don't think it'll be next week because that's meter reading week. It's pretty busy for us. But hopefully in the coming weeks, we'll get a crew out there to hit that hard.
You think you'll be able to get anything done by the end of September?
I'm not going to rule it out as a possibility. I don't think it'll be next week. There's a chance we could be out there the following.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a fair chance.
Okay. And you're confident Spring 3 will produce enough water to get us through till it starts raining?
Yeah, I think so. So
yeah,
right now,
fun.
You guys, your daily average is about 60,000 gallons. Between spring 1 and spring 2, you're doing about 70,000 gallons of production, so you still have that little buffer. If we turn on spring 3, you'll have 100,000 gallons. So now you have almost twice as much water as what you're using.
And you were able to get that check valve working. I guess there was a question about a check valve, so you obviously were able to get things up and running, Curtis?
Yeah, we got things up and running. So a check valve keeps water from going backwards. That's its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And Craig had said that the check valve was broken. And so if we turned on spring 3, that we would essentially start draining the reservoir out the spring box. Well, we turned all the valves we thought would turn spring 3 on, and we didn't get any water out. So we figured we did something wrong. So about an hour later and getting Craig up there, we realized we actually did do it right. That check valve works.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
So, yeah, that's where we ended.
Okay, well, good. All right. Thank you.
So, yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else to report. I keep looking at the chlorine numbers. They look good. Reservoir level's high. And yeah, splicing's coming up. We're just not there yet. So not too terrible much to report, but just happy to have spring 3 available.
Yeah. Well, good luck with your new employees, Curtis. I know that's
Thank you.
Tough. That's always tough. So hopefully they work out.
Hopefully, if we say we're not stopping with these two, my boss is trying to hire 3 more.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're just plugging along.
Yeah. That's what we do.
So I did have a question, and I don't know, Curtis, if you need to be here or if I can do this with my fellow board members. But when I was reviewing my emails when I got back from my vacation, there was the sheet of paper for the meter readings, and it said that there were a couple of new installs can't find. Does that mean that there were some new installs that you couldn't find the meter reading, or you can't find to install the new?
I can answer that one.
You want to answer that?
One of them, the address was wrong, but if you looked at the bottom of the meter reading sheet, he did find it.
Okay.
Because he has the address of the meter that it was supposed to be, one of them up at the top. I think there was just one that he noted he couldn't find.
Okay.
Anyway, all the new ones were on there. It was just, it was one of the new ones and the address was written wrong. It was on the wrong street. But I had already sent them that information and they had gotten it.
All right, thank you.
Are there any more questions for Curtis before we let him go back being a fire hydrant?
Back to the highway. Well, all right. Well, I think that's record time for me. Everybody have an excellent night.
Thanks, Curtis. Curtis.
Thanks, Curtis.
Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is the treasurer and office report.
Okay, so this is as of 8/31. First Security, $68,999.76. Unclear to 600. QuickBook balance is $68,399.76. General checking account activity, total deposits $12,297.11. Total withdrawals $22,570.09. Treasury savings $86,036.17. System development fund $61,374.66. Community center account is unchanged at $366.79. The chlorination account is $6,692.46. Our AR balance sheet total is a negative $12,408.75. And current QuickBook assets as of 8/31, $210,461.09. And the accounts bills to pay this month are $4,809.60. And that was on here. Some of that is going to come out of the chlorination account again because there was some meter installs in that. So about, I think it was 2,200 or so. I don't have that up in front of me, you guys. And that is it. And I know there's a P&L by class posted to the website now. Beth was asking for that, and then one of the community people was also looking for that, so that's on the website now.
What's a P&L?
It's a profit and loss, so it basically shows you how much you've taken in a month and then how much you've spent. So, and we're kind of on a cash basis, Kelly, so it just kind of shows like the bills to pay that I've saved, like for this month in August, really it's not reflected on the P&L until next month or September, because that's when the checks are written. So it's just a profit and loss statement.
Thank you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we also do it, Kelly, actual versus our budget. So it shows how much we have budgeted for each thing and how much we've spent and what we have left.
And I was kind of looking at that. It's a little bit Greek to me, but I will.
Yeah, I'd be happy to sit down with you on that stuff, Kelly.
Yeah, that would be great.
Go through it with you.
Yeah, that would be great. So we can offline.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Eileen.
Yeah. You just let me know and we can set up a time.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have any questions for Eileen? Yes, Pat? You're on mute.
You're muted.
I do have a couple of questions, but I was going to hold them until the public comment.
Okay. So,
as is appropriate. So thank you.
Okay.
So if there's no questions, can I get a motion to accept the treasury report as stated?
I so move.
I second.
Lisa? Yes. Kelly?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Now can I get a motion to pay the bills, as Eileen mentioned, 4,000, whatever it was?
Sure, I motion that we pay our bills this month.
I'll second that.
Lisa? Yes. Kelly?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Cool. And Whitney and Beth, just let me know when I need to sign, because I assume Eileen's not going to be around. So just, you know, either text or email me and I will get to it.
Yeah, I'll probably be home Monday.
Okay. I won't have them ready until Friday because I have to go to Salem for doctor's appointments the next couple days. So they'll be ready Friday afternoon.
Okay. Well, I'll be home Monday, so they probably won't go out until after that anyways, right, Whitney? So if you guys don't get around to it, I'll swing in and sign them. And you found the checks, right, Whitney? I'm sorry. I kind of assumed you would see them. So.
Well, they look just like the other ones.
Yeah, they do. I know.
I didn't realize it was a new box. So yeah. I didn't shred them.
That's good. That wouldn't have been good.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Beth had mentioned to me when we were corp stop hunting that I should go to the bank so that I could become a signature writer as well.
Designer.
Yeah, so if
we have to make those arrangements first with the bank. We have to tell them, and they need a copy of the meeting where you were sworn in.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I mean, Lisa, do you want to arrange for that? Because you have the hardest time getting in, and so if you arrange for that and got it signed first, and then the rest of us can sign it.
I'm going to be gone for the next 2 weeks. I mean, I'm going to be here next week, but then the following week I'm in Alaska. So
right. We need to get Kelly on there so that she can sign checks. So we have another person around.
I understand. And I can probably do it when I get back.
I might be able to do it next week. Does it have to be Lisa?
Well, Lisa, everyone has to sign the new signature card for the account. So I thought if Lisa got it going, then we know that she had it signed and then everybody else can sign. I mean, we can arrange for it later, but last time we did it and it Lisa didn't get up there to the bank for a couple months, they couldn't find it and they had to, I think, start it over or something.
Okay, well, hold off.
Well, you know, we could try it.
Yeah, you guys can still sign it, and I'll just sign it after I get back, after things calm down, after my work. It's probably going to be another week past that because work's going to be crazy when I get back. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, so, you know, it's...
Well, why don't you give us the date that you'll be back so we can let the bank know so they don't...
Well, I'm back in Otter Rock October 1st, but that next week I'm not going to have time to go into the bank because I'm going to be working all through my lunches. So it's going to be the following week after. Oh, and then my mom's coming. And then I'm on vacation after that.
Is there any way you can do it before you leave on the way out or something?
On the my flight leaves at 10 a.m. on a Saturday, and I don't get back until the following Sunday morning. So no, Beth, it's I'm sorry, my life is complicated. I really am. But this time period, and I warned everyone that these next couple of weeks are just, I'm just slammed. I'm not going to be around much.
That's fine.
Okay, so tell me again when you're going to be back.
I get back October. Well, I get back into Otter Rock October 1st. But if I can get away at work, I will. But I'm not promising because that week is...
We'll be doing catch-up.
It's catch-up. And then the following week, my mom's here. And I'm working from her house in Depot Bay, where she's staying. And, you know, and my mom comes here for 2 weeks and she leaves on the 21st. And I'm gone. I'm on physically on vacation the second week she's here.
Okay. Can you give us a date then?
After October 21st. The third week.
What?
After October 21st. Beth, I'm sorry. You know this. I'm not making
this up. Well, you knew it too, Lisa, and you could have gotten this done maybe before this. So.
Well, I disagree with that, Beth. No one was. I'm just going to hold my tongue.
Yeah, is that a form I can go pick up?
No. Yeah.
We just brought it up, and we'll get it done.
Okay.
Next on the agenda is the Business Oregon loan update.
I don't know if there's much of an update. We're kind of in a holding pattern.
Well, yes, there is, because last meeting we hadn't had our phone meeting with Business Oregon yet.
Oh, okay.
We did that on August 22nd, I think it was.
Okay, you're right. Yeah.
And they basically wouldn't tell us, you know, how much money we could get for the loan, but obviously the $4.2 million was too much because we would have to raise our rates too much to meet that debt service for the full amount.
It's actually $4.3 million, Beth.
Well, yeah.
If you look at the number. Yeah.
$4.4 it doesn't matter. So we met with quite a crew of them, and they basically stressed that we, you know, well, number of things that we should, you know, look at the project and what we could, you know, carve it down to maybe. And they really stressed that they were uncomfortable with knowing that our customers would support a large increase, so that when we mentioned the older survey, the idea was that, well, it would be really good. The suggestion was that it would be really good if we had a recent survey done to be able to show our customers would support a hefty increase in the rates. But also in the midst of this, you know, Kevin was there from Civil West, and some good news on the FEMA side of it is that President Biden signed a bill or an order that for our FEMA project that we applied for, the government was going to fund it at 90% instead of 75%. The existing one was amount was that they would pay 75% of the FEMA project, and we would have to come up with the 25%. And that's about $2 million worth of work. So it's changed to a 90% by the feds and 10% by the project people or us. So that's good news. And there is a possibility even that the state will pick up the 10% too. So that was some good news. But I think what it looked like is probably what we need to do is see what we can separate out of the entire build and apply for a smaller loan. And we need to work with Civil West to do that. And the other thing is we probably should do another customer survey to see what people will support. I don't know, did I catch everything, Eileen?
Yeah, I think so. I think the feeling that we both came away with, all of us, if Kevin was on the call too, is the survey. I think they were really uncomfortable with the amount of money that we were asking for, the rate increase that it was going to cause for the community, and the fact that we hadn't done a survey recently prior to, I don't know when it was done last. So, you know, so I guess the thought, like Beth said, is to try to come up with some scenarios. And, you know, this FEMA loan, if this comes through, and Kevin and what's the other guy's name, Beth, that works?
Tim.
Yeah, he kind of popped into the conversation. And we still don't know, but they were certainly enthusiastic about the possibility that this was finally coming to an end. And they were hoping that we would hear something by the end of the year or this fall, possibly. So,
right.
And the fact that, you know, it's 90% now, and the possibility that the state's going to come in and cover that 10%, you know, that should allow us to come up with a couple of new scenarios. It's just hard to do that when we don't know for sure yet. So,
And the FEMA project was for what?
It's seismic mitigation, and that would basically cover our primary mains and a new tank, a new reservoir to replace the large reservoir up at the tank farm.
Right on. So it's a big project.
It's a big project, yeah.
Yeah, well, that
wouldn't do like the lateral mains, and there's a lot of little stuff in between that probably can be carved out that we could, you know, but there's some stuff that you just kind of have to do. You got to put, you know, when doing a new main, you're going to have to put in the new valves in the mains, and those are all, you know, pretty spendy. And,
right.
But that's, you know, something we can work with Kevin to actually, I think, extract and see what's left after the FEMA, and then see how much we've got left. And is there anything we can put aside? Like, I think, Eileen, you mentioned, you know, the spring rehabbing. Well, maybe we can postpone that for a while and still function, you know. So I think we need to have a get together with Civil West to do that, and then work on a survey too, all at the same time.
And the survey, I think what we would like to do is propose a couple of different scenarios. And that's kind of where we're, I think, in a kind of waiting to hear on this FEMA grant before we try to put this survey together. But I don't know if
I think we should meet with Civil West and see what we can partition, you know, out for the different areas and get that, you know, kind of an idea of that, because
do you want me to try to set up an appointment, Beth, with Kevin? Do you want to try to set up a Zoom meeting with him? Maybe I don't know, the end of the month, 1st of October, and talk to him a little bit.
Yeah, we could do that, or you know, sometime okay. next month or so, I think would be good.
Okay, you know, I sent that email, but then I kind of sent it back because you wanted me to hold off. So
right.
So
yeah, and before the meeting, it would be good if you could let everybody know what you were going to talk about. So if we had any
questions,
yeah. Well, and you're welcome to join, Kelly, if you want to try to join in. It'll be I think we'll probably do a Zoom meeting.
Uh-huh. Well. So. That would be three of us. Would that be considered a quorum? And we would have to make that open to the public then?
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily. If we're, you know, if we're just gathering information, and we're not making any decisions or even discussing any possible decisions that would be business related, we can do it. We have to be really careful. It's just like if we three of us end up in the same spot down on the street, we can't start saying, you know, things like, oh, we should do this with the district or something, you know.
Okay, so for information gathering so that we can put a survey together, it would be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we could do it. Yeah, we could try it either Zoom or in the Civil West office.
Okay. All right. I'm open to either or. So I'm hoping that things will start to settle down here a little bit. So.
Right. So I think, didn't you send that one thing to me, and did you send it out to the rest of the board?
What's that, Beth?
About Kevin.
I did. I sent one to you, and then I sent another one to the board with basically the email chain.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do we have feedback back on that? Because I didn't see it.
There wasn't any feedback. I just let everybody.
Well, maybe.
I did have one question. So when we're talking about possibly partitioning things out, you know, and doing mains and laterals, so basically new pipes or new reservoir, and which should be the greater priority. I was wondering if we should have a engineer or somebody be looking at our tank. And the surrounding soil structure and whatnot because of that little leak that's in it.
Well, there'll probably have to be a geology study for the soil to do a new tank. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah, and see which one would be the greater priority because, well, I'm just talking about the stability of the soil that the tank is on now.
That would be part of the project cost would be getting that, you know, doing a subsoil geology report on that, I'm sure.
And Kelly, the FEMA money
is
specifically for the tank.
Okay. Tank so, and primary mains.
Right, right. So
things that could be deemed that we can do to mitigate any seismic damage to the system.
Right.
And those are the two things that would qualify of everything that we have to do.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. I know I'm coming late to the game and I appreciate
it's kind of hard. It's a lot to kind of wrap your head around. And I don't know, you know, I sent that email and I sent an attachment that had kind of the, it kind of gave us some current pricing on everything. It kind of lined it out. Did you see that, Kelly? Yeah,
I think I did. And then it was okay. It was kind of like with some 2018 prices and yep. then current prices. Yeah, yeah. I got that and I looked
yeah,
at it.
Yeah. So that kind of at least gives you somewhat of an idea because it breaks out the small tank, the large tank, the valving, the piping, and things like that. So,
yeah. No, yeah. I was just concerned about the integrity of the tank right now.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody's concerned about the integrity
of the tank. Yeah, that's why we want to replace it.
So, and that's why I think we're so anxious to hear about this FEMA money, because, you know, even once we hear, it's still a process to then get the ball rolling to get the engineering done and get everything else done to actually get the tank done. So, yeah. So we just go up there and talk nice to it.
Yeah. Sweet talk the tank.
That's right. We sweet talk that tank. So.
So, yeah, I think once we get some, you know, things partitioned out and the dollar value, we could see what we could put on a survey to say, okay, how would you feel about a project of this size? That would, you know, increase the rates at this much, or, you know, are you willing to go this much, et cetera?
Yeah. And we've got those one-stop scenarios. And I think I've even, you know, saved a spreadsheet where we could probably just plug some numbers in to kind of give us an idea of what the final rate would be.
Well, we can get that from business
Oregon.
We can say, okay, we do a project that's X, you know, so
right.
what would we figure on an annual, you know, debt payment for?
Yeah. And I was, you know, I was going to reach back out to Tracy at Business Oregon, but I kind of held up on that too. So. So I could shoot her an email as well. We were going to ask her as far as, you know, what is realistic, if they could even tell us that. It's like,
they refused to ask to answer that during the meeting.
Right.
Yeah. Several times, I think we asked them that. I know Kevin did.
Well, maybe it's not worth even shooting her an email then. I mean,
suggested in that one that maybe there's some other things that we could ask to get
who'd
in. Like they said, well, $175 monthly rate would be higher than anything else in the state. So what is currently the highest rate in the state?
Yeah.
And, you know, there were, I don't know.
And is that something I could research myself? Like municipalities kind of publicize their base rates?
Some of them do, some of them don't. It's hard to find. It's really time consuming, but obviously they have that information.
Okay. All right.
Because they, you know, they right. brought they it were up. So I think, you know, I thought we should try to see what other questions we can ask them, just at least to get some clues.
Yeah.
Since they don't feel comfortable telling us, well, we could feel comfortable loaning you X number of dollars, then maybe there's some other things we can get that'll, you know, give us more of a clue.
Did you get the impression that they didn't know that we were applying for that FEMA grant?
Oh, no, we mentioned it before.
Okay.
We mentioned it before, and they made a big point of, oh, well, you can't use that our money to pay your portion of the FEMA grant. The things can't be mixed. And then if you wanted to do a loan for the portion that we have to come up with for the FEMA work, then you'd have to go through another program, which basically is a market rate loan program with them, but you know, market rate for the interest.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll get in touch with Kevin and see if we can't pick a date to sit down with him. and work on maybe trying to come up with some scenarios. Okay?
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And there again, Kelly, you are more than welcome to join. So they're having an open house, too, that you're welcome to go to.
I saw that.
Yeah. He's a nice guy. Nice.
That would be good.
Next on the agenda is the document for license to install a meter on private property.
Right. So we got the answer back that we shouldn't sign anything like that and that we should never install a meter on a private property unless we have a formal, what I would call a formal easement to that area. So that's where that stands. I guess someone asked, are we going to have to move that meter? And I would say, well, I don't think we should at this point, because the customer really, really wanted it there instead of having a huge pit dug out of their driveway. So,
but we are going to have to tell this individual that we cannot sign the letter.
Yeah. Yeah, we should do that.
Well, also though, if we leave it where it is, we could have some liability for property damage if some leak happened in the line on their property prior to the meter.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem was that it did not. The agreement, and it specifically said that, did not run with the land, which means it didn't continue on. If a new person bought that property, they didn't have to abide by that agreement.
Correct.
Right.
But that's not my point was, if there were to be any kind of damage to the property because the meter is into the property, we would be liable for that.
Possibly.
Right. So
the other option at this point would be to have Highland just take the meter back out.
Yeah, we could do that. Just take it out.
Just take it out.
Do it later.
Yeah.
Couldn't we move it to another
nope.
position other than put a lateral line so that it was missing his driveway?
No, the corp stop is in the driveway. The main is 8 feet deep. It would require a huge hole that was reinforced big enough. You know, I mean, probably it's 8 foot deep there apparently. Probably require a pit about 8 by 8 so they could reinforce it so it was safe enough for someone to get down 8 feet to do the splicing of the service line where it is. It may be one of those that if we don't get to all the meters, we would want to do anything like that with the new project, because if they're gonna be replacing mains 8 feet deep, they have to be connecting to service lines 8 feet deep, and it would, you know, things would be open, have to be opened up then. So there's another one too that I thought we wanted to do because it's in an area that I found out from Jim had a really deep main, and in fact, 8 feet. And I'm thinking now we just don't want to even touch those until the very end, because, you know, that's a huge excavation hole. Whether it's in someone's driveway or if it's in the side of the road, you know, it's in right adjacent to their property. It's, you know, it's those are going to be a real tricky one to do. They're going to be very, very expensive. And if that area has to be opened up anyway to connect a service line to a new main, then maybe we wait until a new main is going in there.
I recommend that we move the meter, because I don't think this individual is going to allow Highland to go read it if we don't have a written contract. And that's just my assumption, but I don't feel comfortable with this situation. So I think we should remove it.
I wouldn't suggest that without communicating with the customer.
Yeah. Well, maybe what we do is just send them a letter and basically let them know that, you know, for our legal service, they've advised us not to sign the letter. And, you know.
Well, ask them for an easement.
Yeah, we could do that.
That would be the first step. I would think that would be the first step to do if we're concerned about it right now, is say, no, we need an easement for that meter installation. And then if they say no, then we, you know, then it's like, okay.
So who's going to write this letter?
I suppose the attorney should write the letter.
The attorney?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't.
Well, just, it's a letter, not, we wouldn't be writing the easement. We would be asking for an easement.
Right, but somehow we have to communicate that to the customer.
Yeah, in a letter.
Yeah.
I think we could just simply write a letter that say we consulted our attorney on this this license that was drawn up for the meter installation, and they said this was not adequate, that we need an easement, and ask them for their response.
Okay. And maybe we could mention that we need an easement, or we would remove the meter for now and put another one in later when we were going to deal with the mains. So that, well, they know.
That or just ask them about the easement. And if they come back and say no, then we can just let them know, well, I guess we'll just come in and remove the meter.
Right. I don't know why they would care whether there's a meter there or not. I mean, yeah. Not necessarily, you know, wouldn't be a big of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I agree, Eileen. I would just say we need an easement, and then see what they say. I could work on a draft. And shoot it around. And if people think it needs to go to the attorney, I suppose we could do that. But it would just be simply stating that we need an easement, and instead of this yeah. letter, yeah. this license.
Right. We've been advised not to sign the letter, and this is what we need in order to.
Right.
Okay. We shouldn't really have to sign anything.
We shouldn't have to sign. They should have to sign something.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I'll put something together and throw it around to everybody and see what you think. And
thank you, Beth.
We'll go from
Thanks,
there.
Thanks, Beth.
Next on the agenda is other correspondence. Do we have any other correspondence?
What, like correspondence okay. that people were writing to us?
Yeah, anything else that was received that needs to be brought up that was received by the district? I don't know of anything.
Didn't we get a about the Pat and Pat taking away the refrigerator? Didn't we supposed to bring that up? Am I just imagining that?
Oh, we Yeah, but I was going to bring that up under board member comments. Not a big deal, but since you brought it up, we were offered a refrigerator, a working refrigerator that would fit in the community center, but it couldn't be delivered right now, and it's probably going to come in the future. And that got us thinking, well, what are we doing with the old fridge? Well, of course, we have to get it hauled off, and there's a slight recycling fee. And we did have an offer from two customers that they would arrange for it, the old refrigerator, to get hauled off. And I think we should take them up on it. Right now at Thompson's, which is the closest recycling center dump in Agate Beach, charges $16, I think it was, and 75 cents for refrigerators to safely release the Freon, basically, as a part of their thing. They allow, you know, they have, you can dump off any metal appliances there. They recycle the metal, and they don't charge you for it except for refrigerators because of the Freon. So I think that's a really good deal if someone else will haul it off for us, because it has to get hauled off at some point. So I would suggest we take them up on the offer.
Yeah, I agree.
Go for it.
Go for it, yeah.
Go for it.
But we don't even know when we'll get the new refrigerator, because they're going to Alaska or something.
They live in Alaska. They're some of our customers that are, the family owns it, and this part of the family's from Alaska and was down, and we're going to arrange to get a new refrigerator. It couldn't get delivered in the time frame before they leave again. So at some time in the future, or maybe another one will come up. I can tell you that we measured the existing refrigerator is 30 inches wide and 65 inches tall. We can take one that's a couple inches higher than that, but basically that's your smaller, probably, I don't know, what, 16 to 18 cubic foot refrigerator. If anybody else is replacing one and there's a working one, we'll take it, because we don't have one at the community center, but hopefully they'll be able to get back and we'll get this one that was down the street. So it would be nice for the community center.
So thank you, Pat. Pat and Pat. Next on the, do we have any special order of business?
I don't think so. I think it was all updates, basically.
Yeah, and I know we don't have any ordinances or resolutions.
Nope.
So the next on the agenda is public comments. And I know Pat wanted to speak.
Thank you. Let's see. This question is probably most of this is for Eileen. I think I heard you say that accounts receivable is a negative $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
Is that due, that negative number is due to the prepaid accounts being included in accounts receivable?
Yes.
Okay. So do you have an idea off the top of past due accounts totals? I see we have collected some late fees. And so,
hold on just a second. Let me see if I can pull it up here for you, Pat.
Okay, thank you.
What was the other question?
Oh, I think I probably should ask you one at a time.
Oh, okay. All right. Hold on.
Or you could just let me know on a text or something is fine.
There wasn't a whole lot because we had one that just got paid, right?
Yeah, I'm looking.
The big one just got paid.
Yeah.
I think the prepaids are the vast majority of that amount.
Well, the past due would be,
yeah,
would come out of the prepaid. So I mean,
so I don't know. You know, this is dated 9/8. So let's see. We've got 31 to 60 days, we've got $150 outstanding. 61 to 90 days, we've got $110 outstanding. And I think of that, yeah, so of that, so the 31 to 60, one of those has been paid, so it's really on $100 outstanding. 61 to 90 days, it would be $60 outstanding. So really, not a lot, Pat, not a lot. So, and then, if you look at the AR, as far as what's invoiced, you've got what's currently invoiced is $15,000. So,
but that includes an SDC.
Yes, you're right. Thank you. That
and probably a 750 application, yeah, for service.
Yeah. So, thank you, Beth. That didn't make any sense, did it? So, yeah. So, well,
thank you, Eileen and Whitney, for working on that. That was always a pet peeve of mine. And
yeah,
it's almost nothing. Great job.
Yeah. So,
this is kind of an aside, but I'll get back to accounting questions in a second. Before I forget, I think you've already been in touch with David Gomberg's office and about trying to stay on his radar in case there's any more infrastructure grant money coming along. But I don't know if any of you noticed that Senator Merkley just made a big announcement about a huge pot of money that he's expecting to bring to Oregon. And we might want to try to get on his radar.
Well, you know, all this money comes through Oregon. It goes, you know, through the state legislature to work on, to partition out.
Right. But these local people do have some sway in how that gets divided up. So,
right. But I mean, I would think Gomberg would be the one. I mean, your U.S. senator is maybe going to get the money sent our way, but how it gets divvied up is going to be on the state level.
Yeah.
If that's we true. Have another maybe state senator that we wanted to touch base with, that would make sense possibly too, but
for our
more your reps.
Okay.
Is ours.
Eileen, on income, you were mentioning the SDC charges a minute ago. That $13,000 that's in the budget expected to be received for SDC, and then there, that's in revenue. I don't quite understand why that is showing in the general fund P&L.
It's
not
totally regular. The regular P&L is not by fund.
Right.
The one where we look at the budget versus the actual is not by fund. You have to look at the P&L by class, which I uploaded one this afternoon.
And thank you for that.
It doesn't have the budget on it.
Yeah,
we found it's not possible to separate them out and do a budget versus actual by class.
Okay, but is it necessary that $13,000 shows there because it's distorting our revenue total?
No, look at the revenue on the P&L by class. then
I have looked at that. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
when you say it's distorting our revenue, what do you mean? Revenue is revenue.
Right. Well, it's distorting what we have available to spend during the year because
as a budget amount. Yes.
Because it's, we can't budget to spend any of the SDC money yet.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering if it's possible not to have it in there.
No.
But under expenditures, this again is offset from the regular budget column. So it's not included in the totals either. The contingency, $11,756, and building maintenance, $2,000.
Where, Pat, I'm sorry, I don't even know where are you talking?
Okay, I'm looking at the P&L, the regular, with the budget.
Okay.
And so at line 5010,
I don't, I'm sorry, Pat, hold on just a second. Well, let's find something here.
What page are you on?
Page one at the bottom, the second line up from the bottom.
Expenses.
11,000, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if we even need, I wonder if we could remove that line from our budget in QuickBooks. Would that mess anything up?
Where are you guys looking?
You know.
Page
P&L
one.
P&L budget versus actual.
Uh-huh.
It's page the first one, line under expenses.
The very first line.
Oh, contingencies?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what's the problem?
Well, it's included in the totals.
Well, it's included in the budget.
Yeah.
And then...
That's also, in order to have the budget balance, you have to include that. Right? So it's just the budget.
Right. And if we ever did have to use it, it would just get shifted from that category because it's not allocated, has to get allocated to a certain budget category.
Yeah. So
it would still be as part of the budget.
Right? Yeah. It's just a budget number.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you'd want to remove it. If you removed it, you're not going to balance. So.
Well, we don't. Well,
it wouldn't show.
Because of the SDC amount up there in the budget. And also.
No.
50-50, which is $2,000. I don't understand. It may be a quirk of QuickBooks. I don't know. It's just strange how those...
I suppose, you know, if you were going to look at the profit and loss budget versus actual, and if you look at it on a monthly basis, and if you saw something sitting in the column for that month, you know, that would certainly be a red flag. That, you know, you certainly don't want to post something there. But, I mean, I don't understand why having it there is just part of the budget. So.
Yeah, it was always my wish, Pat, that we had a P&L budget versus actual by fund.
Yes, that would be.
We cannot have it.
Okay. QuickBooks
doesn't allow it, so.
Okay.
I think... You know, the best we can do is that the other P&L by class, but it doesn't show your budget and everything.
Okay. And then just looking at, we should be at about a little over 16% of our
right
expenditures. Right. I see there several line items that are already over that one substantially, the office supplies. Did we buy something that was a big chunk of that budgeted amount, but we bought it all at once?
Probably a couple toner cartridges. You know, a lot of these things are not monthly, regular right. monthly things.
Right. And we bought checks. I had to buy quick
the checks.
Right. Yeah, those were kind of spendy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And chlorine and maintenance under the operation, the chlorine facility operations is 37%.
That's my error. When I was doing the breakout for, I think it was the July Highland invoice, I put the wrong number on because I do a breakout for each of their invoices.
Right.
I put 9,003 instead of 2. It was supposed to be additional services. We'll be correcting that one.
Okay.
And I just discovered that in the last.
When was that posted, Beth? In July?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just off one number.
Okay.
It just needs to go to 9,000.02 instead of .03 under Highland.
Oh, the stinker.
And, okay. You know, Whitney just takes me literally when I do these breakouts for her. And you know, there should be someone else checking my work, you know. What can I say?
Well, I didn't mean to be checking your work over your shoulder, but sorry.
Well, someone should, obviously. I do this every once in a while.
We usually catch it at some point.
Yeah, at some point.
No.
And what about line 70.02?
That's another one. I don't know why that one got there. That one should be.
Is that just a classification thing? Okay.
That was just put in the wrong place. It was for Ferguson meters. That's one I just found today.
What, 70.02 material and supplies?
Yeah, that should be down. We paid for that out of the chlorination account that we're allowed to use now for meter supplies. So that should be put under 8,000.02. It wasn't a system repair and maintenance. It was the purchase of meters from Ferguson. I'm positive because it's the exact amount that was on our bills to pay.
Yeah.
What's the dollar amount?
$4,594.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do that Friday and resend a report.
Okay. Since I found those two things actually today, let me do another run through just in case so you don't have to change it 10 million times.
Okay. Thank you for all of that. Sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass anybody.
Oh, you didn't embarrass anybody, Pat.
I know.
And I would like to really thank all three and now Kelly of you for the great job you're doing for the water district. Thank you.
Hey, Beth, when you send those corrections through to Whitney, would you please include me? I need to look at a current P&L too and make sure, because I thought there was a couple other ones. So
something else, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want me to send you a P&L to date for September also?
Well, you could, you know what?
I don't care, but
I mean, the only thing that will really change in the next couple of weeks is when I get the statements and the interest, but everything else should be.
Right. Well, you saw my email about the interest. So
mm-hmm.
I got that posted to miscellaneous. It should be going to that system development fund. Sorry, Whitney, go ahead.
I fixed it. That's all.
Yeah.
I reset
it. Yeah. So, I mean, if you did that, if you want to send me a current one, that'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I will do that Friday.
Okay. Thank you.
I promise I will look through this again in case I find.
You have 48 hours, Heliker.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And next time, check my work, will you?
I was, you know, on this last breakdown that you did for Highland, I noticed a lot of it went to meter install, and it looked to me like it was the repair for that water leak.
It wasn't They didn't repair anything.
They just opened it up?
Yeah, and it's all ready for a meter.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's why I had to talk. I talked to Curtis about it. And,
okay.
You know, exactly what did you end up doing? They thought they were going to have to replace a corpse stop, but they didn't.
Okay.
Have to.
All right.
It's all opened up now, so it's ready for a meter there. And I also, if you saw in that email, I CC'd the board on that email that do the one across the street because there's two corpse stops right there. Almost next to each other. And he said, Curtis said, there's a tracer on that service line. It's a newer build. I think it was after 2000. I think it's a 2001 house. So it was a newer service line install. And he said it should be easy to find it across the street to put the meter in on the other side of the street. So I told him, just go ahead and do it if you got everybody right there.
Is that Mahala's subdivision? Is this it now?
Has nothing to do with Mahala.
No. The system development charge that's on the.
Oh, no, there's one more property.
There's one more?
Yeah, there's one more that has not been built. In fact, it's the very first lot that sold, and we haven't heard a word from the people who bought it. So just bought a lot to... for future use or something. We don't know.
Do we have any more public comment? No. Okay, moving on to the board member comments.
Oh God, where's my list? Oh, we already mentioned the open house. Okay, records. I have a comment. I guess the record search for information related to the EPA LCRR survey thing got me thinking of records, and I ended up accessing our safety deposit box to see what was in there. Oh boy. Anyway, I have an inventory list.
Gold bullion?
Huh?
Gold bullion.
No, there's some fascinating, interesting history items. Maybe don't really belong in the safety deposit box, but it probably needs to be opened again and, you know, gone through again, but I did an inventory of it and have a list now. There was a list in there, buried in there of what was in it, but it's not very helpful to have the only list of what's in your box
in the box.
So we now have a more expanded list that I made, although that led me to like, well, this isn't everything. There's some, you know, warranty deeds and then some easement information in there, but I know that there was more, so that led me to a search on the county website, which, by the way, the new county website has a wonderful place where you can do document searches. And although it took me a while to figure it out, I actually found about 13 or 14 listings of the digital documents that I've now downloaded in digital format. Including one that I was particularly interested in getting, which was easement rights to vacated portions of 4th Street, which are in our plans to, we have plans to expand the main all the way down 4th Street, which good whole bunch of portions of it have been vacated and we would need easements. And I found a letter in the safety deposit box that said that the district wrote to the county saying, well, when you do that vacate, we need easement rights, but I didn't find any easement document in the safety deposit box. And I found it online. So that's already set up. And anyway, that's kind of has distracted me for a few days, but, and it's not finished totally, but I'm hoping to get it all organized, and because I downloaded a whole bunch of digital documents, and now I have to compare what I downloaded to what I actually found in the safety deposit box. And maybe we might want to, you know, print out copies and put them in there, or put a list in there, or put a thumb drive. Also, there's a couple thumb drives or flash drives in there with the miscellaneous documents in the safety deposit box too, but I didn't have time to, I just put them back in there, and they really need to be, you know, inventoried and listed so we know what's on them easily. But all that's pretty labor, time consuming.
I could
stuff to do, and so there's more work needed to be done, but we're a little bit further ahead than we were as far as records.
Sounds like you're all versed on easements, Pat or Beth, so you should be good on this letter.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's some really interesting, if we have any history buffs in the district who would like more information, there's some real interesting history things in the safety deposit box about how the land where the office is, the lot where the office is, got to be the water district property and everything, and old handwritten articles of, or not, or bylaws of the old Otter Rock Community Club, which was incorporated in the state of Oregon as a nonprofit, which was the original owner of the lot 3400 where the office and community center now sit. But anyway, that's enough of my rambling on.
Thanks for doing that. And if you wanted me to, I could, you know, look at those thumb drives and catalog what was in there. I need some work to do.
Oh, God, don't say that. You need work? I can give you work.
You know, I can't just be a little name on the thing and a yay or nay, or, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Okay. Okay. You've done it.
Don't totally overwhelm me, but yeah, give me some things to do. That would be
cool. Okay.
And then, you know, speaking of records, when I went to that SDAO class, they said that, you know, we should have a public records custodian. Do we have something like that? Are you laughing, Lisa?
Well, that's kind of what we put into the recording secretary's duties, that they are in charge of records, which I think that's maybe Beth's or something. So we could change that. We could have that as a separate individual commissioner job duty.
Yeah, I was just curious because, you know, I mean, I learned so many things during that course. It kind of made my head spin. But I just wondered if we...
Well, and I think some of it, Kelly, you have to kind of take with a grain of salt. I mean, some of these districts are huge, you know, and right. I think you have to kind of keep in mind that we're a small district with a limited amount of people doing work. And, you know, so you have priorities.
Okay. All right. Well.
But Beth will definitely give you something to do. Okay.
Right. I also found some records. Well, this was earlier, actually, on water rights. There's a whole bunch of things that are also recorded on the state system that have to do, that deal with us, of course, since we do water. And I've got a whole bunch of license and permits that I found on a state site for us that say we have the rights to, you know, the water that we use, which was interesting.
So is this stuff that you plan on kind of posting onto the website, Beth, or it's just stuff that you're just kind of looking at?
I wanted to gather it so that the district has it, because it, you know, some of this might be in the that one file cabinets that jammed full of old stuff, but it's pretty hard going through it. And, you know, it's some of it's just stuff I discovered looking on the web and in the state, you know, the water Department of Water Resources and everything. And it's like, oh, look at here's our water rights to spring one and spring two and, you know, things like that. And so, but, you know, I've been gathering it. Anytime you have a digital copy, that's handy to have. And so I've been downloading it so that we had easy access to it.
Sure. Yeah.
That's all I got. I'm going to stop talking.
Does anybody else have any more comments before we adjourn?
Big garage sale this weekend in Gresham. You're all welcome to come. Lots of deals. Lots of baby clothes.
A garage sale.
I think I might sell my husband, you know?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No. Probably won't get
one. We need a Monada rock.
Yeah. Can't tell hopefully this won't kill him and we can get him back to Otter Rock. So.
Yeah.
Can I get a, unless we have any more comments, I'm going to adjourn this meeting at 7:17 and I'm going to stop recording. Our next scheduled board meeting is Tuesday, October 10th at 6 p.m.
Great.